Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full-time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First of all, I'd like to thank the LCCI staff as well as LASMA officers who work around the Jakande or Sapa area of the Lekki Ekpe Expressway. Those guys and women also do a fantastic job. They're there, come rain, come shine, manning the traffic, trying to make sure that people are not stuck on the road longer than they have to be. There are also some traffic police officers who work that route as well. I'm talking about the Osapa, the where you have the ShopRite that was burned last year. So yeah, I just want to, you know, thank them for the work they do. Thankless more often than not, because while they're doing their job, you have people who are trying to break the rules. You have people who are trying to play a fast one, etc., etc. So I just want to thank them and let them know that they're seen, they're appreciated, and well done. First hard fact of the day. We had 64 new COVID confirmations yesterday across 10 states. That's more cases than Tuesday. Lagos had the second highest number of cases behind Yobe. So it's just a reminder that it's still not safe. So I beg, limit your movement. Wear a mask when you are out and about or when you are around people. Give gap. Keep your distance, wash and sanitize your hands as often as you can. Second hard fact of the day, the Juson strike is on hold for now. We expect the courts to reopen next week. By the way, next week Thursday, we're going to be talking about the Juson strike on the Big Hard Fact at 5 p.m. That's if Euro 2020 doesn't get in the way. But yeah, next Thursday, we'll have that conversation. So make sure you're here when we talk about this. Join the 1 million Lagosians who listen to this show. They cannot be wrong. They listen to hard facts, starting with the big three. It's actually a big one today. We'll talk about President Buhari's interview this morning. Did you watch? Did you listen? Did you catch parts of it? Have you seen bits of it on social media? If you didn't or you haven't, well, I've got you covered. Huh? And remember, you can talk to us on social media. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming live there. We're also streaming live on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. And we've got Instagram. Instagram is Nigeria Info FM Lagos. You can share your thoughts on our stories today. It's Thursday. We'll bring you League of Extraordinary Nigerians and Eyewitness. And on the Big Hard Fact, we will debate the Twitter ban. It's like I beg to differ, but with lots of English. So, 5 p.m. today, I will be joined by two very passionate public commentators. One of them supports the ban and the other one opposes the ban. So let's hear what they have to say. Let's hear their arguments and then we'll hear from you. 5 p.m. Don't miss that debate. Of course, news updates will come your way at the top of every hour. If you want to win on Just a Minute, you need to listen to every single thing I say on the show. That's how you win. Now, we've got a new radio series brought to you by Milo coming up at 6:15 after the news. And when that's done, Listed Lagosian will take the air from 6:30. Lagos, let's get started with today's big three.
The big three
on Hard Facts
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Did you watch watch the president's interview, what stood out the most for you about what the president said? And do you think that President Buhari should give more interviews? Those are your big three. Lagos, let's talk. Our only story, like I said, is the president's interview. I mean, he doesn't talk a lot. So when he does talk, when he does talk and he talks about every single issue bedeviling the country at the moment, we have to talk about the things that he said. And he touched on everything. The Twitter ban, IPOB, security in the Northeast, state police, devolution of power, deregulation of petrol. He talked about everything. So we're going to do our best to play some excerpts of some of the points he made, some of the answers he had for certain questions, and then we will go from there. Huh? One of the most burning issues in Nigeria right now is the Twitter ban. And he was asked about the Twitter ban, and he simply said this.
Twitter, that I'll give to myself.
That I will keep to myself. And then he was asked about the Southeast, right? They spoke to him about what's happening there with IPOB. They spoke to him about, you know, what was going on with more and more people from the Southeast and the South in general, talking about, you know, a lack of representation in the security agencies and MDAs. And this is the answer that he gave.
Well, Southeast, I was encouraged by what I heard. Nobody told me. Two statements from the South South. One by elderly people.
South South.
By elderly people. They said this time around there will be no access to sea. I'm sure you will understand what they mean. Again, the youth made the same statement. That encouraged me. So that evolved. It's just like a dot in a circle. If they want to exist, they will have no access to anywhere. And the way they are spread all over the country, having businesses, having property, I think IPOB doesn't know what they are talking about. In any case, we say you talk to them in the language they understand. We'll organize the police and the military to pursue them. That's what we can do, and we will do it.
What about Twitter?
Look at the military. People who have been there for 18 years, or people who have been there, for 10 years, they trained in Zaria or in Abeokuta. You know, they come through the ranks, and because they served under all the circumstances, the crisis and everything, and they gradually rise to that status. And you think you just pick somebody just to balance up. These positions have to be earned. There are people who have been there for 10, 15 years. And you just because somebody will say, well, there's nobody. If you don't join, you are not forced to join. But when you join, you go through the rigmarole. You go through the problem throughout, and you learn by this system.
So that was the president answering, first of all, the question about how he's going to include more people from the Southeast and the South in general in his government, especially in security services and MDAs. And before that, he answered whether he would lift the ban on Twitter and how he'll resolve the crisis in the Southeast. He was also asked about making Nigeria a more competitive and more attractive destination for foreign direct investment. And here's what he had to say.
Well, this question was answered when there was this answer. You remember the young people who wanted to march here and remove me when they were checked that answer. And my answer to that, I got the members of the Executive Council as you could recall, by the Constitution, there must be a member of Executive Council from each state. This is the Constitution. Every state must be represented. So I got them on a Wednesday, a day like this. I said they should go, each one should go to his state, speak to the governor, speak to the traditional leaders, speak to the business people, and speak to the youth, especially, and tell them that the federal government, no more vacancy, it's full. Go to any state governor and ask him now to give you a contract or to give you a job. He will tell you there's no vacancy. The same thing with local government. So you may have a good degree, but you may die without having a job. Why? Because nobody is going to invest in an insecure environment. So I told them, I said they should tell the youth that if they want jobs, they will behave themselves, make sure Nigeria is secure so that people can come and invest. Nigeria is resourceful, people know it. We are a rich country. God has endowed us. But nobody can bring, look at the like 200 buses bought by the former governor of Lagos. Some of these boys went and burned the vehicle. The governor made an album, came and I took the album and put it aside. I said, go and tell them to walk. Who will go and invest his money in an unstable environment? Nobody will. It's just common sense. So you behave yourself, you make Nigeria secure, and people will invest.
Lagos, let's talk, and then we'll play some more from the interview. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. We're streaming live on Facebook. I would like to hear your thoughts via Facebook as well. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Again, the numbers are 07-00-993-993-993. And then for women, 01465-7190. Hello, thank you very much for calling. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, thank you for calling.
Yeah, Tim from Satellite Town.
Welcome, Tim.
I hope Mr. President has spoken today. Many people have been yearning for him to speak to the public. He has spoken today. I hope those conservative theories will not remain into it. He has given the final warning that he will teach disturbing Nigeria from north to south with the lesson, the language they will understand. And the IPOP, who are disturbing, he has said it. The whole businesses across the nation, so they do not consider their people outside their region. They are doing all this nonsense. They should go ahead. They will make their water route. Barry will, I know Barry, and I understand this. I know him. He will not make it worse. He will not go, he's not going to go with anybody that wants to turn this country into a world grand. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Etim, for calling us. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
What's your name?
Jess Lokwe,
welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got in late. But from what I heard him saying, he was still threatening.
Okay.
From what I heard, you know, I didn't listen from the beginning, but I caught the part where he was threatening, using the language of threatening the other part. Is that what he's still supposed to be saying? Honestly, I am disappointed in the interview. That is all I have to say.
All right. Thank you very much. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
All right. This is Williams from Ketu.
How are you?
Very fine. And you?
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
With due respect, Ma, I just wanted you to, like, explain to us, because it's not everything that he said where I was able to really comprehend, actually. Well, if you don't mind, I would like you to, like, explain to us what he was saying.
Okay, which one didn't you hear?
like where he was asked about the issue of insecurity in the East.
Well,
I don't understand why they chose to ask insecurity in the East when there is equal insecurity in the North.
They also asked him about insecurity in the North. Like I said, it was a long interview, and we're going to play as many of the things he said as possible. But he was also asked about insecurity in the Northeast and the Northwest and the North Central.
But please do well to like explain to us what he was saying, because I find it difficult understanding him. Actually,
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling. I'll do my best. I mean, but I don't want to explain what the president has said. I want you to hear from him, hear directly from the horse's mouth, you know, and so that you not see Sandra is adding her own inside. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, our president has spoken once again. You see, it's unfortunate and shameful. I'm highly disappointed that despite all what is going on in the country for a very long time, Buhari has never come out to address the nation.
Okay.
And he came out. For the past 15 years, the North has been boiling. He has never made any concrete statement as regards to the insecurity in the North.
Okay.
He has never told them that he's going to teach them in the language they will understand. He switched over. The hatred is smelling, and we know it.
But he said, so, even in this interview, he also said that the security agents need to
But my sister, that one is afterthought.
Okay.
And that's no problem. But one thing is sure, there's no amount of threat. To get Biafra is a thing of the mind, and we must definitely get it. It's not going to kill all of us.
Thank you very much for calling. All right, like I said, the president spoke on a number of issues, and some people are wondering, well, did he talk about the North? He did talk about the North. Here's what he said.
Well, I had series of meetings, you know, the whole security apparatus was changed, as you know. All the service chiefs and the IGs went. The one that succeeded them had been part of the system. So we had series of meetings with them, at least three meetings, each one lasting more than 2 hours. Firstly, I allowed them to go around, you know, and see the position on the ground. They made changes in their officers and commands and their men. And we told them that we want confidence to be rebuilt, as you observe, people to go back to the land so that we wouldn't have a food problem. And I think that is being done. We are giving it less publicity because we don't want to make them aware that we are taking them head on. But I think those who are in the field know they have been suffering a lot of casualties. And we stopped, for example, mining in Zamfara State. We expelled the foreigners, and we are talking to the government, although he is not in the federal government's party, but we want to secure Zamfara, Sokoto, and so on. And you mentioned Kaduna and so on. But the important thing is the question of local security apparatus. We have police in every town. And I've been talking to the police, trying to push them as hard as I can. They don't wear uniform and sling their rifle just to intimidate people, but to make sure, if necessary, they use it to bring security. In the Northeast, you know what was happening. In the South House, you know. I, too, was almost overwhelmed by what is happening in the Northwest. But we are treating them as criminals now. They are experiencing a lot of casualties. They will not say it because they don't want to demoralize their recruitment constituencies, but they are suffering a lot of casualties. We know that. The problem of the Northeast was very difficult. The governor, the present governor is working very hard. He's taking a lot of risk. And I ask him, this Boko Haram, is it our people, that mean, is it Nigerians or people coming out? He said they are Nigerians, most of them. They are Nigerians. As I said, the only way we got them around was that you can't kill innocent people and said God is great. That worked very well. But I think we have a problem of unemployment. We have a problem of a lot of youth looking basically for what to eat, not even to talk of accommodation or dress. The level of poverty is almost unimaginable. So this is a problem. But those who are really keeping in touch with what we are doing, they know the difference between the time we came in and now. And the people of Northeast and South, I think, are the best judges for the performance of this administration, because they know what they are in and they know the condition now.
Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. The president was on Arise TV this morning and gave an interview, and we're playing for you excerpts from that interview. So far, he's talked about Twitter. He says his plans for Twitter he'll keep for himself. He's talked about the Southeast. He's talked about including the South in his government. On that subject, he said it's only people who are who have earned it that will be included in his government. He also talked about foreign direct investment. He talked about the NSAS protesters wanting to come and march on Aso Rock and overthrow him. What do you think about the things he has said so far? We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Sandra Isaac.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 3:30 right now, and you've heard the president speak about Twitter. You've heard him speak about the crisis in the Southeast. You've heard him speak about foreign direct investment. You've heard him speak about insecurity in the Northwest and in the Northeast as well. You've also heard him speak about including more people from the South in his government. What are your thoughts on the points he has made? When I take a few of your calls, I'm going to play for you what he said about building infrastructure to Niger. He had a very interesting answer with that question. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Facebook, I'm taking your comments as well. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Hello, how are you? What's your name?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Yes, Femi from Surulere.
Welcome, Femi.
Yes, Sandra, let me paint this quick analogy.
Okay.
There's a prayer we often pray every Sunday. Whoever is disturbing Nigeria, whoever is this, God should do this, do that, they should die by fire.
Right.
The pastor says that from the pulpit. We all accept it as normal. But is that not the same thing that the president, that whoever is troubling Nigeria, they would be treated in a way they understand? But it's so funny how I'm so sensitive about certain things because it's coming from the president. Look at everything the president has said. In fact, it was even clear. The president said they that were on the battlefield, they knew what they went through. They knew what they were seeing. And these people that are troubling, causing trouble, he didn't say the whole part of this particular place, but it's just that we already have a preconceived notion that whatever is coming from the president is wrong. If today, I can bet you that if you explain this thing from now till tomorrow, and the president comes on air and say, oh, we are free, we'll withdraw every troop that is in the Southeast and all that, we'll withdraw them away, everybody will still false that statement because it is coming from Buhari. But the president, as who he is, you can't just be allow things to be going wrong. Definitely he would fight those who are causing the trouble. Buhari did not say to cause problem in the whole of the East. He said those who are causing trouble. Is what I understand in this. And he mentioned everything. The same thing is being done in the North and other parts of Nigeria. But we choose to understand what we have conceived in our mind. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Femi. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Hello.
What's your name? Good afternoon.
Sandra, I'm Chika. Chika, calling from Akute.
Welcome, Chika.
Yes. See, our president, his comment was appalling.
Okay.
Because he talked about Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said about Northeast, he calmed down to analyze that is due to unemployment and the situation of the country.
Okay.
Is unemployment not affecting people from the Southeast?
Okay.
It's unfortunate that a man of his caliber can come out to the national television and be saying hatred, as in using hate speeches, because they are the ones that made law that there will be no use of hate speeches. Such word that he used this afternoon that you have just played, is it not part of hate speeches? I think it's part of it. Let's tell ourselves the truth.
Okay.
Because when you look at everything happening, it is obvious that the Southeast is being marginalized, even more than the Southwest.
Okay.
Let's tell ourselves the truth. Good day, ma.
Thank you, Chika, for calling. Now, I think I'm going to play what the president said about the crisis in the Southeast again, because I'm not quite sure what the issue is. So the president was asked that how will he resolve the crisis in the Southeast, right? And here's what he said.
Well, Southeast, I was encouraged by what I heard. Nobody told me. Two statements from the South. One by elderly people.
South.
Yes, by elderly people. They said this time around there will be no access to sea. I'm sure you will understand what they mean. Again, the youth made the same statement. That encouraged me. So that evolved. It's just like a dot in a circle. If they want to exist, they will have no access to anywhere. And the way they are spread all over the country, having businesses, having property, I think EPOB doesn't know what they are talking about. In any case, we say you talk to them in the language they understand. We'll organize the police and the military to pursue them. That's what we can do. And we will do it.
What about Twitter?
Twitter?
Yes.
That I'll give to myself.
So he said that he was assured by the elderly people and the youth from the south part of the country that region has no intention of seceding. He said IPOB will not have access to anywhere, even if they eventually secede from the country. So let me read what he said verbatim. Quote, "I was encouraged by what I heard. Nobody told me. Two statements from the South, one by the elderly people. They said this time around, there will be no secession. And again, the youth made the same statement, such encouragement. So that IPOB is just like a dot in a circle. Even if they want to exit, they'll have no access to anywhere. And the way they are spread all over the country, having businesses and properties, I don't think IPOB knows what they are talking about. In any case, we say we'll talk to them in the language that they understand. We'll organize the police and the military to pursue them." That's what he said. And then when he was asked about the South, the North East and the Northwest, he also said something similar. So what really is the issue? Let me come back to the phone lines. 0700-993-993-993. Hello. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
How are you? Good evening.
I'm fine, Sandra.
Welcome.
The speech in our distance, it does not make sense. There is no solution in it. He did not propose solution to contemporary issue like the suspension of Twitter in Nigeria.
He said he'll keep that to himself.
That is not a solution.
Okay.
No solution. How can you, which solution is in, how can you find in that? That's my contribution.
Okay. Bye. All right. Bye. Yeah. Thank you for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Hi, Sandra.
How are you? What's your name?
My name is Esther from
Lake. Your name is?
Hello?
Hello. What did you say your name was?
Esther, calling from Lake.
Esther, welcome. Go ahead.
Sandra, how did we get here? I just listened to the president and I'm surprised that I'm from the Southwest, but I don't support what the president just said. You can, that's in no way, that's it. For me, that's a hate statement, hate speech on the Southeast. How would you say you would enforce them in the language they understand by sending police to chase them, by talking to them in that way, and then you have not addressed the issue of insecurity in Nigeria?
Well, he was talking about IPOB, not the Southeast. He was talking about IPOB.
Who are the IPOB? Are they not the Eastern people?
Yeah. No, well, all Eastern people are not IPOB. And IPOB is not all Eastern people.
For majority of them, they are clamoring for what? They are all clamoring for this session. That's what they are clamoring for. There's a better way to address this thing, not this way. Me, both of us know there's a better way to address this, not this way. This thing is like you're addressing it in a, you're addressing the democratic in a military way. There's a better way to address this. This is not the best way, Mr. President. I am really sad and disappointed. It's better not to speak than to speak nonsense. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Esther. Amadu Jonathan Emmanuel on Facebook says, the president, well, I think before we get to Niger, I'm going to have to actually play that excerpt for you, and then you can make up your mind about what he said. Abdulaziz Ola says, North agenda is different from Southeast agenda. Southeasterners want to break away, so they should be treated in the language they understand. Joe Joseph says, Sandra, which language do Nigerians want Buhari to teach criminals? Maybe we should take Buhari's speech to Joyce's program on language and interpretation for better understanding. All right, Joseph, thank you very much for your message. On WhatsApp, Morgan from Lekki says he listened and watched the president's interview. This is the most bizarre presidential interview he has ever seen. His responses were not on point. His response on Southeast is most regrettable. I don't know how we can live and manage this for the next 2 years. This is totally prehistoric despotism. We are back to 1984 era. Morgan from Lekki says, Morgan, thank you very much for your message. We've got Chinedu from Aja who says, please, did Mr. President commission the railway he came for? Yes, he did. He commissioned the railway he came for. We've got Kasali who says, I think so many Nigerians are impossible. How can you fault what Mr. President said? It's unfortunate. All right. We've got more people who are sending us messages here. Regular and clear communication between a leader and the led is a sine qua non for both effective administration and successful leadership. A leader who aims to achieve great things for his people through them must communicate with them. He cannot, should not remain silent too long. Too often, the silence of a leader gives room in the polity for rumors, speculations, and possibly undesirable repercussion. In all, a leader should talk to the people, as silence is not golden. Well, he has spoken to the people, hasn't he? And one of the things he talked about was why there's an obsession of the Buhari administration towards Niger Republic. He was told that his administration is carrying a lot of infrastructure to Niger Republic. So you've got road, you've got rail, etc. And this is what he said.
How many neighbors do you have? Both on individual and the national rule. You have to cultivate your neighbor. If you don't, you are in trouble. If you come call when I came, I went to Chad, I went to Niger, I went to the Cameroons. Look at what's happening with Boko Haram. If we are not in the good relationship with Niger and Chad and Cameroon, Boko Haram would have done worse things to us than this. And you say I'm carrying to Niger. I told you the border between us and Niger is 1,500 kilometers. And in Niger, you see, I spoke to one Frenchman, and I have to tell you this. He spoke nonsense. I say, you people, in 1885, you sat down with ruler and pencil and draw lines. I say, I have first cousins in Niger. There are Kanuris, there are Hausas, there are Fulanis in Niger Republic. Just as there are universities in Benin, Republic, and so on. You can't absolutely cut them off. But the rail, look at the plan, if you read the plan, how we are rehabilitating the rail. Niger, they have discovered oil too, as you know. And we don't want to allow them to go through Benin Republic. We want them to come through Nigeria. We hope they will decide when we take the rail up to Marathi that they will send all their exports and so on through Nigeria rather than through Benin. Because of the railways and the roads working, both from Maiduguri to Fort Harcourt, from Kano to Lagos and so on, people will be very busy. And I believe if you make the infrastructure work, roads, rail, I assure you that Nigerians will keep themselves very busy and they will leave you alone. But when the roads are not more trouble, the rail is virtually crippled. People have so much time to harass you.
So the president said that borders were arbitrarily drawn by the French colonialists without taking into cognizance the cultural similarities of the people of Niger and Nigeria, even as he revealed that he has first cousins in Niger Republic. He said that, people of the Southwest similarly have cousins in neighboring Benin Republic as well. You know, he said that when he came, he went to Chad, he went to Niger, he went to Cameroon. He said he talked about what happened with Boko Haram. He said if he did not have a good relationship with Niger and Chad and Cameroon, Boko Haram would have done worse things. And, why are you saying that I'm going to Niger? He said that, the border between us and Niger is 1,500 kilometers. And he spoke to a Frenchman and he had to tell a Frenchman that. And he said to the Frenchman back in 1885, you sat down and drew lines. I said, I have first cousins in Niger. There are Kanuris, there are Hausas, there are Fulanis in Niger Republic, just as there are Yorubas in Benin. You can't absolutely cut them off. And he argued that the new rail would help Nigerians compete with Benin Republic to help trade in the region. Lagos, let's hear some of your thoughts. I'm still going to play for you what something he said about the herders farmers crisis. That's the final excerpt we're going to play for you. Like I said, it was a long interview. He said a lot of things, but we're playing for you some of the most burning issues. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Kelvin.
Welcome.
Sandra, at this point, I can't envy your job.
Okay.
I think it is good for us to approach what the president says with an open mind, not with emotions. The president said he will deal with the IPOB in the language you understand. All Easterners are not IPOB members. It is very clear. I don't know if we are trying to turn issues here. I'm from the South. I don't believe what they are doing. I don't believe. I can't sit stay here. As long as I've been here, born and brought up here, someone will sit down in one place and be brainwashing me. It's not possible now. So the president was addressing that group who has been proscribed, whether I would like it or not. That group has been proscribed. That is the group the president was addressing. He was not addressing the Southeasterners that he was going to treat them in language they will understand. Please. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin, for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Yeah, I watched that interview on RITV.
Okay.
Now, I found a few things wrong. First of all, I almost wept, okay. You know, because I found quite a few things troubling from the interview. The president made a lot of reference to things like, I have told them, I have warned them, I have done this. He personalized a lot of the things that we should be dealing with as a corporate entity, Nigeria. Right?
Okay.
He mentioned, I have my relatives here, I have this, I have that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, he didn't give any contemporary, any scientific solution to the problems that we are facing.
Right.
He didn't mention things like I will work with the Senate, to come up with legislation. He didn't sound very contemporary, and that's very troubling.
Okay.
You just said now how he made reference to the fact that, I have a good relationship with these people and that Boko Haram would have done worse. Look, what plans do you have over the next 15, okay, let's even say 10 years for Nigeria? Do you understand my point?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about the now. I have a good relationship. Who cares about next year or 2 years' time? You might not be here.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? He didn't talk about, making laws. He didn't talk about collaborating with his legislature.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too personal and too primordial.
Okay.
We need to be more scientific as we try to resolve our problems. And that's why we need somebody who is really intelligent, to deal with the issues of, the tomorrow, not even today anymore.
Okay.
Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you very much, Alex, for calling. 99.3.
Hello?
How are you, Ma? What's your name?
Good afternoon. How are you, Mrs. Oluwashola?
Welcome, Mrs. Oluwashola.
Yeah, thank you. My concern is about IFOP.
Okay.
If we are talking of the East, it's not only IFOP in the East. With chasing IFOP, a lot of people have been killed. I remember one man came from Germany. He was killed, and some other people. Are we going to continue in this way? I think there is a lot of things hidden, which the federal government don't let us know. Between federal government and IFOP, there is no way we can deny IFOP in Nigeria. Whatever they are seeing in Nigeria, and see, I want the federal government to take caution, not to go ahead and chasing media, soldier using police to chase IFOP. They're just missing it.
Okay. Mrs. Oluwashola, thank you very much for calling to share your thoughts. Let's listen to the president talk about open grazing and the clashes between farmers and herders. He talked about that, and the question was, what exactly is your opinion on open grazing? What steps are you planning to take to put an end to farmers-herders clashes? And listen to what he said.
You want me to contradict my attorney general. Okay, what I did was ask them to go and dig the gazette of First Republic when people were obeying laws. There's cattle routes and grazing area. Cattle routes where when they are moving up country, north to south or east to west, they have to go through there. If you allow your cattle to stray into any farmer's farm, you are arrested. The farmer is invited to submit his claims. The alcalde or the judge will say, RIP, if you can't, the cattle is sold, and if there is any balance, you are given. And if you are behaving themselves, and in the grazing areas, they built earth dams, put windmills, in some places even veterinary departments, so that the herders are limited. Their route is known, their grazing area is known, if there is any problem from the locality is known. But I'm telling you, this rushing to the center, people just Oh, I see. So I asked for the Gazette, you know, to make sure that to those who encroached on these cattle routes and grazing areas will be dispossessed, you know, and try to bring some order back into the cattle yards. The problem is trying to understand the culture of the cattle rearers. There is a cultural distance between the Tiefs and the Fulanis. So the governor of Benue said, I'm not disciplining the cattle rearers because I'm one of them. I cannot refuse to say I'm not one of them, but he's been very unfair to me. And I told him that the Nigerian cattle rearer was not carrying anything more than a stick. Sometimes with a machete to cut some trees and give it to them anymore. But those sophisticated ones, they are good with AK-47. So from all the Sahel areas, people rush to Nigeria, you know, and Fulani from Mauritania or from Central Africa look the same. So they think they are Nigerian ones. And I assure you that we are trying to resuscitate these cattle routes, grazing areas, and make them accountable. And when this cancelling of taxes is ordinary people like it, but the problem of accountability, you know, when taxes are being paid, people are behaving themselves. But now without taxation, people are doing what they like.
So he says, contrary to the demand by southern governors to ban open grazing, how about a revival of cattle grazing routes previously set across the country in the 1960s? You know, he says he has asked to dig up gazettes of the First Republic, cattle routes and grazing areas from that republic. The routes and the areas are known. You have to stay there, and if you allow your cattle to stray into another person's farm, you'll be arrested. He said a bunch of other things, but I'm sure you heard him for yourself. Lagos, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and take your thoughts on that particular comment and all the other comments that you heard from the president as well during his interview this morning. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
More news and information coming up. We'll be back in a moment. Entertainment in partnership with Riverside Productions bring you this comedy blockbuster. One Lagos Night. Starring Frank Ganga. Eniola Badmus, Aliu Nuhu, Chris Okabwe, Obolo, and lots more. Directed by Ekene Som McQueen.
God, hey, I swear to God, if after 7 days you don't answer me, I'll go meet the devil.
Put in the book. Read the world, just watch for the more.
Devil himself.
Premieres May 29th on Netflix.
Meanwhile, download carry combo.
Huh?
See what thing bring.
What you say one?
Ah, check out. I know be quick not to do that. Based on rent, no carry out look for more.
Which can't be this now? First, na job matter. Second, na job matter.
One Lagos Night. Anticipate.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
4 minutes to 4 o'clock. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You just heard the president say that he'll tell the Attorney General of the Federation to begin the process of recovering land from persons who have converted cattle grazing routes for their personal use. He said that during the interview he had with Arise TV, he said the grazing routes were designated in the First Republic when Nigerians used to obey laws. Let's talk to you, Lagos. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? What's your name?
My name is Christopher.
Welcome, Christopher.
Yeah, what I see here is, in this 2001 century, that everybody's moving to the newer modern of open grazing and high-tech grazing, our president is still going back to digging up cassette. Want to go back to 1960s, the way they were doing. Come on, I'm really, really, I'm disappointed in what I just said now. I think it should just sit up. You just have 2 years to go. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling us. 99.3.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
I am Mrs. Ajay, calling from Sulun.
Welcome, Mrs. Ajay.
From all indications, we can see that our president is not futuristic at all.
Okay.
That is why we are still where we have to be. Why is he not living in the hall? Why is he now living in the palatial mansion? He's no longer living in the hall. Now he's going to look for gadgets. To revive the old grazing road. When other countries are thinking of what to do with infrastructure, how to bring in more infrastructure, very soon people will no longer be using a petroleum product to do. We are not thinking of what to do again. Our president is talking about 1963. I'm tired for this type of person. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Let me go to WhatsApp and take comments there as we wrap up today. Tunde from Ikorodu says that the president addressed IPOB, not the Southeasterners who are doing their legit businesses in all parts of the country. I wonder why some of the Easterners are hiding under what the president said. Has he had a meeting with Boko Haram? So why should he call them for dialogue? The president's comment on open grazing, Yomi Williams says, is a testament that he never supported the ban of it. Development has taken over most of the routes gazetted for open grazing in the 60s. Open grazing is fast becoming obsolete. Embrace ranching. Yomi Williams, thank you for your message. Sandra, can you explain the meaning of IPOB spread all over the country doing business and having properties? Who are those scattered all over Nigeria? Are they all members of IPOB or are they Igbos? By the way, why are they talking of properties and businesses? Don't I have the right to own property in any country I like? Paul Akoka is asking that question. Very valid questions there, Paul. It was quite worrisome, that particular statement. Chisamun Joko says, Sandra, if the president wants to bring back the cattle grazing routes of the 1960s, then let him also bring back the 1963 constitution through a gazette. All right. Thanks for your message. Sandra, to be sincere to you, I did not hear anything the president said. Uchenda Enikoyi says, Uchenda Nawa for you. Okay. Why is the president treating all the Igbos as IPOB? Very unfortunate. The president is openly encouraging. All right, Alex, thank you very much for your message. Here's another message here on WhatsApp. We've got so many. My goodness. All right, let me see if I can quickly take a Facebook message before Yvonne kicks me out of the studio to read her news. All right, here's this one here. Okay. Godwin Elue says, the president's speech is bizarre and unfortunate. He only tried to reveal the extent of his hatred for the Southeasterners. When talking about IPOB, he said they have businesses everywhere. To me, that is not an address to IPOB, but the entire Easterners. Now, if we bring the entire narrative of the security challenges in Nigeria and hang it on IPOB, then we're not sincere to ourselves. Igangan was just attacked some few days ago. Most people were afraid to go to their farms, even in the Southwest. Are all these crises caused by IPOB? Although I don't support any but if Buhari had applied the same vigor on the northern part of Nigeria and even Benue State, I don't think that will be where we are today. Those supporting the president, don't worry, we are all in it together. All right, let's bring you business news, shall we? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. At 5 o'clock, we'll have a debate right here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Do you support the Twitter ban? That's what the debate will be about. Lagos, don't go away.